And as I was picking up, cleaning up the dishes, I was just talking to the Lord, just kind of to myself. And I just said to the Lord, I just said, Lord, I said, you know, I just don't understand why it is people have a hard time hearing you. I was just saying that to myself. I said, I don't understand why it is. Why is it that people have a hard time hearing you? Because you're always talking and you're always listening and you're always saying things. And I was like, it's so easy to hear you when we fellowship with you because we're children of God. And I thought, I just was asking, I was just like, why is it? Why is it that so many people struggle with that? Because that's hard for me to see because I want people to know God's voice, you know, because it changes your life when you know his voice. And he just kind of said this to my heart, just kind of real quietly to me when I was doing the dishes in there. He said, well, Matt, people do hear me. And I thought, oh, okay. But he said, a lot of times people don't do what I tell them to do because they're afraid of me. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And I sat there and I thought about it for a second, and I realized that a lot of times when people hear God, they kind of ignore what he's saying to do because they don't want to do it. Or they ignore what he's saying to do because they're afraid of what could happen if they do what he said to do. You know, because how many of you guys have ever been here? I've been here, and I've had this happen in my life. You know, you're serving God, and you're like, I want to ask God what I want to do with my life, but I'm kind of a little afraid to because I'm afraid he's going to call me to China. Anybody ever have that? It used to be Africa when I was a kid. Everybody was like, oh, you think he's going to call me Africa? Now everybody's like, I just think he's going to call me away. And so what you did is you would just, like when you're a kid, you would become a Christian, but you just never asked God, what do you want to do with my life? Because you were always kind of that little bit of like, I don't want to hear what he has to say. But I always found out as I got older that if I just did what God told me to do, his blessing would be on that and there would be grace on my life to do it and I would probably actually enjoy it. And it would be better than what it was before. But so many times I was thinking of that when, you know, God talks to people. A lot of times God will tell us to do something, but we kind of pull back because we're like, I don't want to hear what he has to say on this situation. You know, you not talking to God about your situation doesn't mean God doesn't know about it. It just means you're avoiding it. You know, there are situations in our life that we need to talk to God about and we keep avoiding it and God just keeps waiting for you to talk to him about it. But we're just like, I don't want to hear what you have to say to me about that. I don't want to hear it. You know, I just want you, I'll serve you. I love you, but don't talk to me about that. Well, God wants you to talk about that because he wants to deal with that so that you can be blessed and that you can move on and experience the best things that you have in life through him and because of him. And so I realized that a lot of times people have fear, this fear of God. And so, and I kind of wrote this down, that the world right now, or the word fear that we live in this world is used so much today in society that we have a difficulty understanding what it means in the Bible. A lot of times people say, you know, oh, I'm so afraid of that, or, you know, that scared me. And all of this fear talk causes us to read Scripture and misinterpret or misunderstand what the Bible means by fearing God. We have, I wrote this down, what we need to do. We need to fear God, but not fear God. Think about that. You need to fear God, but not fear God. Let me say it a different way. We need to have a reverential fear of God, but we do not need to fear God or be afraid of him. See, a lot of times people think they have a fear of God because they love God. But that's not true. Because if people had a reverential fear or they said they loved God, you know, it's this way. People say, well, I love God, which means I fear God. Well, not necessarily, because if you have a fear of God, you won't do the horrible things that you did. You can have people that say they love God and they still do crazy things. Anybody ever notice that? You have people do like crazy things. They're like, but I love God. And I'm like, yeah, you love him, but you don't have a reverential fear of him. John Bevere recently, I watched this video. He did an interview with, years ago, Jim Baker. You guys remember Jim Baker on TBN? Had the falling out. When I was in Atlanta, I used to work with his son at the ministry I worked at. I worked with his son. I never met his father, but his dad was in prison getting ready to get out when I was down there. His dad went to prison for many years for some things that he did. And John Bevere wrote a book, and he found out about it, and he, Mr. Baker, Jim Baker, asked his secretary reach out to this author, which was John Bevere, and have him see if he'll come see me in prison. So John Bevere is a young minister at that time. He showed up in prison, and he was talking to Jim Baker, and he was asking him, and Jim Baker said, did you write this book that he had written? And he said, yes, I did, sir. And he said, was talking about the book and about how God got his attention and how he was glad to be in prison. It wasn't God that put him there, but it kind of woke him up, and how it caused him to make adjustments in his life that if he wouldn't have made, it would have ended his life. And he said it wasn't a good thing, so God got his attention. But he was talking to him, and John Bevere made this statement. He said, I asked Jim Baker, he said, Jim Baker, did you love God at that time? You know, when you were doing these things. And Jim Baker said, you know, I loved God. I loved God with all my heart. I loved God every day. I loved God. And John Bevere said, but Jim, how did you love God? Because for 7 years you did this, and you say you love God, but your actions didn't line up with what you were saying. And he said, well, I loved God. But he said, but I didn't have a reverential fear of God. See, there's a difference between loving God and have a reverential fear. That's why people say, well, I love God, I love God, and they still do horrible things. But if you have a reverential fear of God, you won't do those things. See, we need to have a reverential fear of God, but we can love him but not be afraid of him. We can have a reverential fear of God but not fear God, not be scared of what he's going to ask me to do, not be scared of him, to approach him. You say, well, what does the Bible say about having this reverential fear? Well, it's got a lot of scripture here. So we're going to hit a lot of these. Now, some of these we'll go to. Some of them you can write them down, because I've got a couple here to show you. Proverbs 1 in verse 7 is the first one of the first scriptures we're going to go to here. And I'm going to read a lot of these from the King James or the New American Standard, so it'll kind of sound very similar to most of your Bibles if you got those translations. But Proverbs 1 in verse 7, it says this. I'm getting it pulled up here. See if my tablet wants to work for me. If not, I know it, but I just want to make sure I read it to you guys. Proverbs 1 in verse 7, and we're going to go King James is where we're going to look today. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Look at Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Just go over. We're going to be hopping a lot between Proverbs and Psalms, okay? So you'll be jumping between those pages right there. Proverbs 3 and verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If you fear the Lord and depart from evil, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Look at Psalms 111 and verse 10. Psalms 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 33:8 says this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere or be in awe of him. Proverbs 14:27 says this, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. So look at what we just read. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to shun evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord means to stand in awe or revere him. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It turns you away from the snares of death. Proverbs 19:23 says this, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Psalms 25, verse 14, the Lord confides in those who fear him. And some translations will say, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. We're not talking about being afraid of God. We're talking about a reverential awe, fear of him, reverential. Proverbs 8:13, here you go, right here. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. So it says, if you fear the Lord, you'll shun evil, you'll turn away from it. But it also says, if you really fear the Lord, you'll hate evil. To fear the Lord is wisdom, is what Job 28:28 says. To fear the Lord is wisdom. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says we need to fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God. Now, it's not meaning I'm scared of God. It's meaning there's this awe, this reverence of who God is, to fear God. And then Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Let's go over there. Philippians 2. This is a scripture when I was in Bible school. We had to write a paper on this. And guess who my teacher was? Pastor Marvin. Yeah, I had to defend this scripture. So you know that if I had to defend it against him, I was probably pretty right on, or else I would have known I was wrong. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Notice that. Obeyed where? Not as in my presence only, so they obeyed in his presence and outside of his presence, but now much more in my absence, right there, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. So he said, what? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not only when I'm there, but in my absence. So the fear of God, we read all these scriptures. Here's some things that we can look at. The fear of God, beginning of knowledge and wisdom, means to shun evil, means to revere or be in awe of him. It means it's the fountain of life. It turns you away from death. It leads to life. The Lord will confide in you and reveal secret things to you. It means that you hate evil, is wisdom. It means that you keep his commandments, and it also means that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So, when you look at the fear of the Lord, here's what some commentary has said about this, and I think this is really good. I want you to kind of hear this. It says this, expressed in many ways, this theme is repeated throughout the book as the key. We're talking about the fear of the Lord, talking about the book of Proverbs. The means, the secret of obtaining genuine wisdom. It is not the terror of a tyrant, but listen to what they say right here. This is what I want you to hit right here. But the kind of awe and respect that will lead to obedience to him who is the wisest of all. But fools, stark and immediate contrast, are one of the strongest ways the writer makes his point. So he does the exact opposite. So what he's doing is he's saying, this is wise and this is foolish. That's what Solomon did. If you look over there in Proverbs, you see that a lot. He'll tell you about being wise, but then he'll talk to you the stark contrast about being a fool. So he says, fools despise wisdom. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that means we need to understand, what is the fear of the Lord? Because a lot of times people say, well, I fear God, but really they're afraid of God more than they fear him, more than they have that reverential fear of him. So when we, a lot of times, write this down, when we fear God or have a reverential fear of God, we fear being away from him. We obey him, listen to this, even when times are tough, even when we don't feel his presence. If you have a reverential fear of God, you fear of being away from him. You want to stay close to him. When you talk about sin and evil, you avoid it because you know that's going to affect your relationship with God. You have that holy, reverential fear. You're like, I don't want to be away from you, but not only that, I want to obey you, not only when I'm at church, but when I'm outside of church. I want to obey you all the, I want to follow you. I don't want to be away from you. So I have this awe and respect and honor for who God is. That's why you ever notice when you get in worship, it's very easy to have that reverential fear. You're like, woo, God is big. But that's how we need to be all the time. We need to have that awe and that reverence for who God is. And if we really do fear the Lord, if we really do fear him in a reverential way, then it should affect our life. Because I've seen so many people say that. I've done it. Well, I love God. I love God. I love him. I love him. I love him. But your actions don't say you do. But the reason we do that is because we don't have a reverential fear of God. Most people are afraid of God, but they don't have the reverential fear of Him. They're afraid of Him. They're scared of talking to Him because they're afraid of what He's going to tell them that they have to do. And see, that's the other side of this coin. So you have this one side that says, well, you know, this reverential fear, but then you have this other side of the coin that says, well, I don't want to talk to God because I'm afraid of Him. Well, if you're afraid of God, then you've got some things you got to work on. Because how many of you guys, let's just be honest, how many of us have not talked to God about something because we know what He's going to tell us? See, some of us know what God's going to tell you to do. You just don't want to hear it. Can we just be real honest? I've had things in my life where I knew if I talked to God about it, what God was going to tell me to do. So I just figured I won't talk to you about it. Because I'm afraid of Him. Because I'm afraid of what He's going to ask me to do. I'm afraid. Well, what if He tells me I have to leave? Whoa, here we go. This is going to get real close to home for people. Especially young people. What if He tells me I have to break up with the person I'm dating? Man, I was dating. Can I be honest with you? I've dated some real good people in my life. And most of the time, I didn't talk to God about it because I was afraid of what He was going to tell me I had to do. I just thought I'll avoid it. You can pretend like you don't hear God, but that don't work so long. It just doesn't work that well for you. And in my life, I remember I was dating somebody, and it just wasn't working out. I knew it wasn't working out, y'all. It's not rocket science. It just wasn't working out. But you know what I did? I didn't want to talk to God about it because I was afraid of what He was going to tell me to do because I knew that He was going to tell me I needed to break up with the person, and I was more worried about the fact that it was going to hurt than the fact it could destroy my life. Finally, I got the revelation when the girl did something and just pushed me to the edge. And I was like, this is easy. I'm done. I'm out. Sayonara, muchacho. Have a good day. And then I got involved in other relationships. But, you know, I had to have that fear of God. That was that reverence that said, wait a second, God, I'm willing to do whatever You tell me to do to obey You, to stay close to You because You love me. And I'll obey You because I have a reverence. I don't care if it hurts or if everybody else tells me I'm crazy. I'm staying close to You. I don't care if it's a popularity contest. I'm not in it. I got to obey You. I got to stay close to You. I got to do what You're telling me to do. And I couldn't be afraid of Him anymore. I had to realize that God loved me and had good things in store for me. So you need to flip that fear. Don't be afraid of God. Have that reverential fear of God. Don't be afraid of talking to Him about your life and the things that are going on. I found this out that if we do that, life, it might make the decision might be a little hard to do sometimes. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, okay? I'll be honest. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's going to be like, woo, that was fun. But a lot of times if we just obey and be quick in it, can I be honest real quick? About those relationships, every time I got ready to go on a date with him, God told me in my heart, don't date him, don't date him, don't date him, don't date him, don't. And I ignored it every time because I wanted love. Ooh, man, did I miss it massively a lot of times. I got myself in predicaments because I didn't obey. I didn't have a reverential fear. So I would date people because I wanted to feel love. I would tell God, everybody else has, this is what I would tell God. I look at it now and it's like, man, y'all, I was crazy, but that was just how my thinking was. But I would tell God, everybody else has kids. I'm coming up on my 40s, I don't have a kid. Well, I'm 44 and I have a kid. You know, but everybody else is married and so happy. But what about me? What about, I got to have a girlfriend on my arm because I don't want to be the third wheel every time everybody goes out. I don't like being the third wheel. I won't be third wheel. I want to be part of the wheel. I won't be the third one. I won't be everybody else. And so I would disobey what God told me to do instead of listening to what He was telling me to do. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't follow after Him. And, you know, that brought me more heartache and pain than anything. But if I would have had that reverential fear, I would have been what? Quick to obey. Because what did Scripture say? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, as in my presence, but also in my absence. So that means whether I'm at church or away from church, I want to obey God. I have a reverential fear of Him. You see, we need to flip the fear. We need to fear God, but not be afraid of Him, and not be afraid to talk to Him or ask Him about questions in our life. It basically goes back to the basics, or the foundation of God is love and love is God. You see, people need to always remember that when you do something, God's doing it from a place of love because He is love. So even though it may seem hard, He does it because He loves you. And can I just give you insight into God? He knows more than you. He knows that person when they're away from church more than you do. See, that's the thing. I tell people all the time, you know, my wife, she didn't have a perfect past, okay? I mean, we both didn't. But people always will, you know, make mention of that or say something of that. And you say, well, how did you know to marry her? Because God knew her heart. God knew who she was outside of church. Didn't mean she was perfect, but God knew her heart in it. And God said, that's what I'm looking at. So I had that reverential fear. I had to work on that with relationships. So when I started dating my wife, I had to get to the place to where God told me this one time, and it finally hit me. He said, it's better for you to be married to the right person for 10 years than the wrong person for 30 years. That's what God told me. He said, it's better for you to be married to the right person than the wrong. So what did I have to do? Get satisfied with where I was. Realize that my life was good. And you know, before I met my wife, I was content. I was just like, Lord, if I'm going to be 50 before I get married, I'm good. Because I know the next 10 years of my life will be heaven on earth if I follow you. I disobeyed God so long, I realized that I had to follow Him. Amen? And I wanted to have that fear. It's not always easy to follow maybe sometimes or make those choices, but in the end, it actually benefits you. So it means that you have a fear of God, that you're in awe of Him. You don't want to be away from Him, so you'll do whatever He asks to stay close to Him, which means you will obey Him. You know, everything that we do in life, we do it out of His love for me, which means I'll obey Him. If I realize that He loves me, I'll just obey. I'll just follow Him. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. If He says, you need to sell your house and move, you'll sell your house and move. Why? Because I know God loves me. Well, how are you going to provide? I'm not worried about that because God will take care of it because He loves me. I'm just going to obey. Well, what if God tells me to break up with a person? It's okay. You just break up with them. Why? Because God loves me. He's got something better. But it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard, but He'll be with you. Obey. Have a reverential awe. He's all-knowing. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of God. It's realizing that God is all-knowing and He knows everything. There's that awe. Like, whoo, you know everything. It's that all. You don't want to be away. You reverence Him. You honor Him. Now, I was reading, I was studying this, and I found this story. And this story is so good, so I'm going to read this to you. This is a story that John Bevere, he wrote this in an article about fearing God. And I think when you hear this, most of us are going to relate to different parts of this. But I want you to hear there's certain points I want you to hear that he makes. He said this, there was a time in my life when I would have told you I feared God, but my actions told a different story. He said, several years ago, I was looking for a publisher for my first book and was approached by a nationally known publishing house. When the publisher gave us their proposal, the deal seemed too good to be true. I couldn't believe that such a major publishing house was interested in my book. But as Lisa and I prayed about it, notice there's that unity, husband and wife, we both felt uneasy and knew we did not have God's peace to move forward. Nevertheless, after weeks of continuing to hear them out, they won me over. Over time, I had suppressed the lack of peace, and against the Holy Spirit's leading of my wife's caution, I signed the deal. It was disastrous. Immediately after signing the deal, all kinds of trouble broke out. Now listen to this. What he says here, I can relate to this because I've done this, so that's why I'm kind of smirking. For a string of 3 months, I was continually battling sickness and injury. I went from flu to viral infection to fever that lasted for weeks to a knee injury that put me on crutches. Making matters worse, nothing seemed to be working out with the publisher. We couldn't agree on anything, and our relationship was breaking down. Could this be why David wrote, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word"? That's Psalms 119:67. God was quite merciful to me in this situation, allowed me to see my folly. I put ministry success before obedience to Him. I admitted my error to God and my wife Lisa. I was forgiven and cleansed, and His mercy is so amazing. And then he says he was still trapped in this contract with this publishing company, and they had to pray, and they ended up finally canceling it, but it ended up costing them $4,000. And as he said, back then, that was a lot of money for their ministry. But he says this. I want you to hear this. This is one of the points, the many I want you to listen to. But why did I make this mistake in the first place? The honest answer is that my focus, listen to this, was on abundance rather than the fear of the Lord. Listen to what he says. This opened the door for logic and apparent success to override and silence what God was making clear to my heart. The truth is, listen to this right here. The truth is that obedience is the outward evidence of the fear of the Lord. When we fear God, we will obey Him instantly, even if it hurts, even if we don't understand, even if we can't see the benefit, and to completion. And then he talks about Abraham and how Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice, and he obeyed God instantly. You notice that story when Abraham, God told him that he was going to have, you know, the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky, and that's how many kids, and he didn't have any kids, and he gave him a son, and guess what's the first thing he did? He said, "Take your son up to the top of the hill and offer him up as a sacrifice." And what did Abraham do? Abraham obeyed. And Abraham not only obeyed, he took him up there and he took out the knife and got ready to cut his kid. Remember the story? And what happened? An angel of the Lord appeared and said, "Abraham, you feared God." How did he know he feared God? Because Abraham obeyed instantly. Abraham didn't hesitate. Abraham obeyed God. So he obeyed him instantly and he followed God. So he says this, how did he know that Abraham feared God? The angel knew it because he obeyed. If you fear God, you will wholeheartedly obey what He asks you to do. Listen to this. This is so good right here. I encourage you to avoid making the same mistake I did. I prioritized my desires over fearing and obeying God, which cost me dearly. After I repented, God restored that situation and eventually connected me with the right publisher. Still, all the trouble I went through could have been avoided had I only followed His prompting in the first place. Pastor Matt would say amen to that because I've done it. Listen to this right here. Delayed or partial obedience is disobedience in God's eyes and can only lead you away from His blessing in your life. Let me read that again. Delayed or partial obedience is disobedience in God's eyes. You say, what does that mean? Delayed or partial. So delayed means God tells you to do something today and you delay on it. You wait. Partial is God told you to do something and you only do it halfway. Let me give you an example. God tells you to sell your car. I have no idea why, but just He told you to, okay? So God tells you to sell your car. What's He telling you to do? Sell your car. So instead of selling your car, you wait. You wait till the market's right. God didn't say for you to wait till the market's right. He told you to sell it today. Well, you wait till your bank account's fluffy. I like fluffy bank accounts, by the way. I like fluffy food, and I like fluffy bank accounts. But you know, you wait till your bank account's fluffy. God didn't tell you to wait till your bank account was fluffy. He told you to sell your car today. Sell your car today. Now, partial obedience would be, okay, well, I'll sell it, but I'm going to sell it and buy another truck that's cheaper. God didn't tell you to sell it and buy another truck that's cheaper. God told you to sell your truck. So obeying God is the outward sign that you fear the Lord. Now, I want to tell you right now, I've had to make some decisions in my life to obey God that hurt. I've had to make some choices in my life that hurt because I had to make some decisions and do some things based off of obedience to follow God that wasn't always easy. You know, moving away from my home was not easy when I was younger, when I was 18 years old, but I did it. Moving back from Oklahoma wasn't easy. Why? Because I had a good job. I had nice benefits. I was offered the highest up position at that corporation. They were going to pay for me to live in another state. They were going to pay my housing, pay for my car, pay for everything. I could have made a whole lot of money. And guess what God did? He called me to come to Mattoon. Partial obedience. So what did God do? God told me to come to Mattoon. So what did I do? Got things ready to move to Mattoon. I didn't sit there and wait. I didn't sit there and think, well, do I need to move to Mattoon? I said, okay, God, what do we need to do? Partial obedience. I didn't delay it. The second I got the unction to come here, I moved as fast as I could because it was miserable staying there. But I could have disobeyed and stayed there. I could still be there to this day making a lot of money, living in another state. I would have actually lived in Boise, Idaho. That's where I would have lived, Boise, Idaho. Could have made a lot of money. Might have married another woman, had another kid, be in another church, but I wouldn't be here doing what God told me to do. Partial obedience. Had to obey. So that obedience is an outward sign that you reverence and that you have a good fear of God. You have a reverential fear and awe of God. Delayed or partial obedience is disobedience in God's eyes. And can only lead you away from his blessing in your life. So the question you have to ask yourself is this: what is God asking you to do? Do it and do it thoroughly. Your obedience to God will open the doors to his blessing and position you to step into all that he has for your life. That's the fear of God. So you don't need to be afraid of him. You need to be afraid of being away from him. You need to be afraid of not obeying him. Amen? There's got to be that, and I call it almost like a holy awe or holy fear where you're just like, I can't afford to disobey God. I've learned this in my life. The older I get, the quicker I am to just do what God tells me to do. Amen? Now, if you miss it, you say, Pastor, I missed it. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Ask God for forgiveness. Repent. Say, I'm sorry. I should have done that. I should have done it here, and I didn't. Now help me out. What do I need to do now? What do I need to do now? And he may say, here's the adjustment you need to make. Here's what you need to do. And things will work their way out. But sometimes we just have to do it, even if it hurts a little bit. Amen? That's okay. So if God's telling you to forgive, then you need to forgive. Partial obedience. But I don't want to forgive. Here's the thing. I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. My dad used to say that to me all the time. You know? Clean the garage. I don't want to clean the garage. I didn't ask you if you wanted to clean it. Clean the garage. You know, take the trash out. I don't want to take the trash out. I didn't ask you if you want to take the trash out. Take the trash out. I found out real quick with parents, it's better just to obey. There's a blessing on it. Take the trash out. Got it. Take the trash out. Why? Because then when I go out with my friends later on, I'm cruising to town, I need $5. Dad, can I have $5? Well, here's $5. Because I took the trash out. I obeyed. I found out with my family it was easier. It was easier with my dad. If my dad suggested something, I just did it. But I found this out with my parents. I found this out with my father. He did things because he loved me. He didn't ever do things to hurt me. He did it because he's loved me. My son, just yesterday, my son was in the house playing with me. I was watching him because my wife's working because of Valentine's Day. And so it's been Dad and Dax overload week, you know. It's Dad and Dax a lot this week. And we've been hanging out a lot. And he's just... I mean, he's everywhere. He's just getting, he's starting to move, and I mean, just, he's touching everything, pulling everything. He wants everything, you know. He's not satisfied with just looking at it. Now he wants to touch it. And then when he figures out, when he figures out about it, then he just constantly goes to it. So in the front room, there's this light that he loves to touch because it turns on when you touch it. So he just sits there for like 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, you're like at a strobe light concert. Like, calm down. Your dad's over here like, ugh, I'm going to throw up. Just stop. You know, and so he's just touching. And so yesterday I was doing something in the house, and he went into the thing, and he shuts the gate. That's his big thing now. He likes to shut. I told my wife yesterday I experienced what it's like to live with a teenager because he went in the room and he slammed the door shut. And I was like, well, we're getting a glimpse of our future. Like, right there it is. He slammed the door on us. But he likes to shut doors and gates. And so, long story short, he was in the front room, and he was playing with this clock. And about a week ago, he was playing with that clock, and he pulled it down, and it hit the ground, and it busted, and I fixed it, you know. It's an old like clock from the 70s type thing. We got it at a garage sale, so not high importance on our list, but it's just cool. And so yesterday, he was pulling on that cord again, just smacking that cord around. And I stuck my head around the corner. I said, hey, bud, I said, just be careful. And he knows when I'm yes or no now, because he looks at me and he kind of gives me this smirk. And I'm like, I go, ha da 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 da. No, 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 no. Don't touch the cord. And then he'll look back at me and he'll kind of go, and I'm like, dude, we're gonna have a discussion here. You're one, and we're gonna have the discussions of the deep things of life. But I kept sticking my head around saying, bud, you know, hey, be careful, take your time, be careful. You can look at it, but be careful. So I'm in the kitchen, doing something. And all of a sudden, Dax is in there, having fun. And what do I hear? Boom. And I go, Dax. And I come around the corner, and he's crawling. He's just bawling, just screaming, crying. And, of course, I'm like, bud, I said, oh, you okay? I pick him up. And I said, that's why Daddy was telling you not to pull on that. I don't want you to get hurt. You know, I'm trying to explain it to him. Like he's totally comprehending me. Like, okay, I get the things now. Thank you, Dad. But I'm like, bud, I love you. It's okay. You're fine. That dude was crying. I mean, he was just shaking. Oh, and I was like, bud, I'm trying. That's why I don't want you to do that, because I know it's loud and it, you know, scares you. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want it to hurt you. Well, why did I do that to my son? I did it because I loved him. I was telling him not to do something, not because I didn't want him to enjoy things. It's because I didn't want to get hurt. And I know my son will get a hold of that as he gets older, that mom and dad do stuff because they love me. Same way with God. Same way with God. God doesn't tell you not to do things because he wants to hurt you. He tells you not to do something because he knows it's going to hurt you in the long run. He does it because he loves you. Why does God tell you to give? Because he wants to bless you. But God can't bless you apart from his word. Some of you are thinking on that. If God... the blessing of God is in line with what? With the word of God. So if you want to be blessed the godly way, you do what God tells you to do in the word, and then you're blessed God's way. But if you're like, well, I'm going to just try it and not do it God's way and see how much I'll get blessed. Well, it ain't going to work, because you got to line up with the word. But why does God want you to be blessed? Because he loves you. See, there's that awe and that reverence to obey. So that's why when God nudges you at the store to buy somebody's groceries, you don't do the partial obedience. You know, when he nudges you, because how many of you guys, God has nudged you to do something and you try to talk him out of it? It just don't work, y'all. You know, God will tell you, buy their groceries. Yeah, but God, they have a lot of groceries. You don't think God knows that? But God, you know, like, how about I buy just the produce? I didn't tell you to buy the produce. I told you to buy the... But God, you know we have a water bill coming up. Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. No, God knows you got a water bill. What's he trying to do? He wants you to obey so that his blessing can be manifested in your life. There's that reverence and that awe. So be the type of Christian that all in all of him and reverence him. So when he says, buy the groceries, you say, put it on the cart thing and I'm buying it for you. Why? Because God told me to and I got to obey. Well, you got to end that friendship or that relationship with that person. Yeah, but. Okay, God, how do you want me to end it? Because I'll do it today. Yeah, right now. Okay, we're calling them right now. Here we go. You're not delaying in it. You're not talking God out of it. You're following him because you know that he loves you and you reverence and you're in awe of him. You have that reverential fear. See, to fear means to shun evil. You don't want to do anything evil. Why? Because I don't want to be away from him. The fear of the Lord will keep you from the snares of death is what the Bible says. Why? Because if you obey God, he'll protect you. You know how many times, I mean, there's so many times in my life. Now, this last couple of years, I haven't had that much to ride my motorcycle because, you know, my wife and I got married, and we have a kid now. And so my time is a little more busy than before. I used to just go out and ride motorcycles for, you know, hours and hours. But, you know, you know how many times I've got ready to get on that motorcycle and God will put it in my heart, don't you get on there, go back inside. But God, it's a beautiful day. I've learned with God, don't reason it out. Just do it. So don't get on the motorcycle. Cool, put it up. What are we going to go do? Watch TV? Let's go do it. Because there was one time where God spoke to me when I lived at my old house before I was married. God said, don't ride your motorcycle today. And I always rode my motorcycle, get comics. It was like my man thing to do. Ride my motorcycle, pick up my comics, go eat at the barbecue place, have barbecue, come home, read my comics. It was my day off. That's what I did. It was my schedule. It was my routine. And so it was a beautiful day. Sun was shining. Everybody's out riding motorcycles. And I was like, I'm going to ride my motorcycle. So I go put it in the driveway. I start it up. I get everything on, ready to go on my motorcycle ride. And God says, don't ride it. And I'm like, okay, here we go. What? Reverential awe, fear. God, you're all knowing. There's something you know that I don't know. There's something you know that I don't know at all. So, Lord, I'll do it. I shut the bike off. I get in my car, and I drive my car. So I go to the comic shop, and I do my routine, but I'm in my car. And so I go to the barbecue place, and I eat, and I'm coming home, and I'll never forget it. I'm coming home. I'm out there by the hospital. You know how there's that left-hand turn to go into Sarah Bush out there? I'm coming down the road. I'm going about 55, 60, flowing with traffic there. And this lady pulls out in front of me like this. Blows that light. Blows it. And I'm barreling. I mean, literally pulls out in front of me like the car's here and the lady's there at the end of that wall. And I swerve and go in the gravel and pull the car back and miss her. And God said, if you were on your bike, you would have hit her. And I said, I'll obey you now, even more than before. Why? Because I realized he loved me. So any other time I got on that motorcycle and there was just a check on the inside, I'll just shut it off and put it away. There's been times where God will just say, don't ride it for a while. Okay. Why? There's that holy reverence and awe that God, there's something you know that there's something I need to get. There's something. Maybe there's a traffic thing I need to avoid. Maybe I just need to chill for a moment. Maybe I need to spend more time. Maybe there's something here. You know, it's just that all of God. It's just, like I tell you guys all the time, I joke about it, but it's just, gosh, I've missed it in marriage a bunch, y'all. And you know how many times I've had to obey? Just obey God quickly. 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 Not delay. Quick. Yeah, but my husband... Yeah, but God didn't ask you to give a reason why, your husband. He told you what to do. Yeah, but my wife, she did wrong. What do you think? God don't know that? You don't think that God sat there and watched your argument with you? You don't think God sat there? The Bible says that the Lord is everywhere. So you argue with your spouse. It's not like God was like, I'm sorry I was over in China helping so-and-so out. What happened here? No, he was right there. He knows. But that reverential awe says, Lord, I'll just do it. What do you want me to do? Ask him for forgiveness. Okay, God, I don't understand it. I don't see the outcome of it, but you know all things, so I have that awe for you, so I'm going to be quick to obey. Quick to obey. That's how, like what John Bevere said, which is true, you can tell people that fear the Lord because they're quick to obey. They're instant. They don't delay. If they delay and they do partial obedience, that's still disobedience. But what happens is a lot of times when people are delaying and things like that, they don't have a reverential fear of God. They're maybe afraid of him, but it's not the fear of the Lord. It's not the beginning of wisdom. It's that they're scared of God, of what he might ask them to do. But, you know, you have to get to the place to where you have that awe and that reverence for him, and where you realize if God asks you to do something, he does it because he loves you. So I just want to encourage you, when God tells you to do something this week, don't question it. If it's God, don't sit there and reason it out, because y'all, I'm a reasoner, you know, and that's, I told you that. Like, if I'm not careful, I found this out. If I don't do it quick, I come up with reasons why not to do it. You know, if God tells you to buy that person lunch, buy them lunch and don't ask questions. Because if I delay and I sit there with God and we're in the Arby's line and God's like, buy them their lunch. But why? Because I need my lunch. I didn't ask you, Matt, just buy their. But why? Did I tell you this story? Let me give you an example. I went to Arby's. This has been a while back. Went to Arby's. Went to the line, got my food, and I had to add something to the order. And the lady that took my order was not real happy with me. It wasn't me adding it, okay? My wife was yelling in the back what to add to the order, and I didn't do it. And yeah, so I didn't obey. So anyway, so I added it to the order. The lady got mad. The lady got mad at me, and I was ticked. I pulled up. She said, you can pull up and wait. I said, when she comes to the window, my wife and my mom were there. I was like, I'm going to let her know what I think. I was like, this attitude thing needs to change. You know, you having a bad day? I'm going to make you have a better day. You know, how dare you tell me, like, you know, treat me bad. And when I was in the thing waiting for my food, you know what God told me to do? Give her $5. Give her five. You ought to give me $5 so I don't come through the window and ninja hit you. So what did I do? Quick to obey. So I sat there, I pulled out my money, and I remember my mom and them were sitting there, and I said, I gotta give her this money. And they're like, okay. So the lady comes to the window, and she gives me my food. It's the lady that got mad at me. And I said, it's okay, don't worry about it. I said, I understand. I'm sorry you're having a bad day. I said, here's some money. Oh, no, I can't receive it. Here's some money, take it. So she took it. So I left. And it was about 2 weeks before I went back to that restaurant to eat. And I'm pulling through, and I have to go up again and wait for my food. And that lady comes out, and she says, I've been waiting for you to come through. And I was like, oh, we're going to fight in the Arby's parking lot. Pastor beats local woman up. Like, you know. And she said to me, she said, you gave me the money. And I said, yeah. She said, I am so sorry I treated you the way I did. She said, I've been waiting for 2 weeks for you to come through this window so I can apologize to you. And she said, next time you come through, meal is on me. I was like, now I know why God wanted me to give her $5. See, quick to obey. There's just that awe of like, okay, God, if you're telling me to do it, there's some. That lady needed that day. She didn't need my ridicule. She didn't need my opinion. She needed to know that somebody cared. And I looked past her fault and blessed her in return for what she did. She deserved something else, but she got the opposite. And it spoke volumes to her so much that she waited 2 weeks every day for me to come through so she could tell me how much she appreciated it. So, God talks to you this week, just obey. And you say, well, how can I develop that, that reverential awe of God? Spend time with Him. Worship Him. Spend time in His Word. Realize that He does it because He loves you. And just practice being obedient to what He's telling you to do. Just practice it. And you'll find out the more you do that, the more you realize God has good for you, the more that awe of who He is and how big He is and how amazing He is and that reverence, you'll just do it from a place of, Lord, I don't want to be away. I don't want to disobey you. I want to obey you at church, but I also want to obey you the rest of the week. I want to live a life that's holy because I want to stay close to you because I reverence you, because I know I can't do this apart from you. There's that reverence and there's that awe, but then you also obey Him quickly because you know it's important not only to show Him, but to show Him that you reverence Him and honor Him. Amen? So let me pray for you guys today. Father, we just thank you so much for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that, Father, we just honor you today. Father, we just honor you. Father, I just am in awe of how amazing, how wonderful, how glorious, just how you are, Lord. You're amazing. And Father, I know in my life I've learned. I've had to grow and learn in this area. And I just pray for the people in the sound of my voice today, Lord, as they go forth from this place today, Lord, that you bless them, that, Father, that your hand is upon them. And I just pray, Lord, that as they go forth, I pray, Lord, that these men and women will be quick to obey. These guys will be quick to obey, to do what it is that you've told them to do. And Father, if there's something in their life that they haven't done it and they need to do it, I pray, Lord, that they just ask you for forgiveness and make that adjustment quickly. And Lord, you help them in that area. I pray, Lord, the men and women that hear this today, they'll obey quickly. They won't do partial obedience. They won't do delayed obedience. They'll just obey instantly. They'll be like Abraham. And Lord, even when they even when they don't see everything, even when they don't understand the outcome or they don't know what's going to happen, they'll just say, I'll do it because I love you, because I have a fear for you, because I'm in reverence in all of who you are. I thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them. And as they obey, I thank you, Lord, that your blessing is upon their life. And I thank you, Lord, your peace and your provision and your strength and your joy is there also. Lord, I thank you for these guys. I pray that you watch over them this week. I pray that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them as they go home today. And Lord, surround them, protect them, keep them safe, and bring them back safely next week. We thank you for this time today. We thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord, we've heard it, and now we're going to do it. We're not just hearers only, but we're hearers and we're doers. So we're going to do what the word says for us to do. We're going to walk in that reverential fear in all of who you are. We're going to obey you quickly and follow you, follow you, follow you, follow you. Follow you wherever you tell us to go, and whatever you want us to do, we'll do it. We'll be like Abraham. We'll obey instantly, because we know that when we do, that blessing is upon our life, because we're in line with what you want us to do. We thank you for it, Lord, and we just give you praise today. We give you glory today in Jesus' name.